It's the world, or not the, I think it's, oh, it's a championship. It's a championship Rubik's Cube championship going on in, a, I think, Melbourne over the weekend. And Tim McMahon knows all about it. Tim, a very good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
Tim, a lot of people associate the Rubik's Cube with the 1980s. Is it still as popular today?
I think it's probably grown in its popularity these days, and there's a lot of competitions going on and people still trying to figure out how to solve it.
Okay, so what is the competition on this weekend?
This weekend we're having the Australian Nationals, so we've got cubers from interstate and a couple from overseas coming together to compete, and we'll have 17 different events.
17 different events.
Yep,
now, so a lot of people might think, okay, you just get, you know, given a Rubik's Cube and you try and get it back to the way it's supposed to be. What are the 17 different events?
The 2x2, 3x3, 4x4, up to 7x7. We've even got one-handed solving and blindfolded solving as well.
Okay, hang on. When you say 2x2, 4x4, what do you mean by that?
So with the Rubik's Cube, we usually regard that as the 3x3 because it's got three layers.
Okay.
And then the 2x2's just got two, and the 4 would have 4 and the 7 have 7. But a bit complex for me, just sort of takes me like 30 minutes, but the fast ones can do it in about 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay, hang on. With the normal Rubik's Cube, it has 6 sides, and I thought it had 9 different dots. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, so the other sizes, are they different sizes, or how does that work?
So you've got, if you look at the 3x3, you've got the 9 stickers on one face. On a 2x2, you've just got the 4 stickers on one face.
All right. Yep. As long as you know what you're doing, that's all that matters. So there's some of the ones you're doing. What else?
We've got all different shapes. So we've got the pyramid one as well, and like the Mega Mix, which is like a pentagon-type puzzle. They become quite large and complex to solve.
Okay. And this is all designed by Erno Rubik, or have other people done designs for the actual cube, or not always a cube, over the years?
It's only a couple by Erno Rubik, but I think they're very much influenced by him, and they come up with different puzzles as well, so he didn't make all of these puzzles.
Okay, what about the different age groups as well? Do you have them?
Yep, so the majority of competitors will be between the ages of 11 and about 18, but we do have people in their 30s and 50s, and there's one 80-year-old attending, which should become the oldest competitor. Or female competitor in the world to compete at a World Cube Association competition.
Okay, that's pretty exciting. But anyone who was probably into Rubik's Cubes when they first came out are probably going to be maybe in their late 30s, early 40s now, is that right?
Yeah, that'd be right, because like 30 years of the Rubik's Cube this year as well. They're celebrating the 30th anniversary.
But it still appeals to younger people. You're saying most of the people are under the age of 18?
Yeah, I think it's still very much a fad. When students are growing up or kids are growing up, like right. Their parents might give it to them as a gift, and it becomes a fad in the high school schoolyards, and then once they've solved it, they just put it away and continue studying.
Yes, I never had that luxury of being able to solve it. What are some of the tricks, the techniques in solving a Rubik's Cube puzzle?
We usually break it down to layer by layer. If you just try to solve one face at a time, it becomes really complex and too tricky to do. So we try to break it down to layer by layer. So you've got three layers. You've got the bottom, the middle, and the top layer. And we'll try to make a cross on the bottom layer first, like a... So you can make two different types of cross. You can make one along the diagonals, but you don't want to do a diagonal cross. You just want to do a cross like a crucifix type
cross.
Okay,
hang on. So what you're saying is don't do it by face. People often make that mistake. Do it by the level, the layer, as you call it.
Yeah, we try to go layer by layer and upwards, and it becomes a seven-step solution. Mm-hmm. So you end up doing the cross, and then you insert the corners for the first layer, so you'll end up having an entire bottom layer complete.
Right.
And then you need to grab the edges for the second layer, because you've already got the center points that don't move on a cube. So once you've got the bottom layer, for the second layer, there's only four pieces that you have to fix. Once you've got them in place, you've just got the third layer on the top, and you have to fix the edges and the corners as well.
Is it easier once you've done it once? If you're handed a cube next time that someone has just put in some sort of random order, are you able to look at it and think, you know what, I know how to do it this time?
Yeah, we can take any cube from and solve it again. It's just it's a method of reduction, so you break it down into manageable pieces, and you always do just the cross at the bottom and the corners and just work your way up. you can always solve it once you know how to solve it.
All right. Tim McMahon is our guest, organiser, and also a competitor and an official at the Australian Rubik's Cube Solving Championships. How do you manage to do all three of those things, Tim?
Well, they've got it in the regulations, but we've also got a WCA delegate, Dean Beardsley, coming over. He's just come over today from New Zealand. He'll also be officiating. So I'll be officiating on behalf of Australia as a World Cube Association delegate, and he'll be coming over on behalf of New Zealand.
Right. Is this the first Australian National Championships, or have they been held for 30 years?
It's actually just the third. It's the first Australian Championships. We've had two competitions in Melbourne earlier this year, but before this year we hadn't had any competitions, and the only Australians that have competed were those that have gone to over to Europe or into the US and competed there. So until this year, there wasn't that many Australian competitors, and yeah. At the first competition in January, Felix Mdegs managed to break some world records just at 14 years of age and really smashed the 10-second barrier for solving the 3x3 Rubik's Cube.
But hang on, Rubik's Cubes have been popular for 30 years. Why is it that we've had so few championships?
It just didn't take off at competition level in Australia. They've been having competitions since the 1980s, but they've really only taken off overseas around the 2000, 2003 or 2005 mark, where they've really increased in popularity. Okay. And I got together with some other cubers in 2006, and we tried to push for competitions, but we didn't get enough interest until just recently this year.
You mentioned some Australians, or an Australian earlier, broke a world record.
Yep.
Do Australians generally do well in international cubing?
Before this year, the Australians had been averagely. It's still a respectable solving time, but like in the top 300. We've got a fair few competitors that can solve it in like less than 20 seconds and around the 13 to 15 second mark, and also the world record holder who's just thrashed all the other records by about 1 to 2 seconds.
Wow. It's all about how quick you can solve it?
Yeah, pretty much. It comes down to dexterity and being able to turn it really fast and also knowing how to solve it in the shortest amount of moves.
Okay, so it's about the number of moves as well as the actual time.
Yeah, there's a bit of a trade-off. Like, if you know heaps of algorithms, it might be you can determine a shorter path to solve it, but you might be thinking more and hesitating more. And at the end result is you end up spending a bit more time trying to think. Where if you use sort of a more basic method and just go really, really fast without hesitation, you can solve it in a shorter amount of time.
You also have a blindfold event that they get to see the cube, then they're blindfolded, and then they have to solve it without actually looking at the cube while they're doing it.
Yep, that's correct. They have to memorize the scrambled state as quick as they can and then put the blindfold on and solve it.
When it comes to the difficulty of solving it, though, are there levels of difficulty in the scrambled state? You can scramble that Rubik's Cube and make it very difficult and give it to somebody, and there is some level of difficulty there that if they solve it quickly, but with a level of difficulty, degree of difficulty, that means that they're a better champion than someone that solves one that's easier?
Yep, that's a really good question, because when it comes to competitions, there's always heated debate about whether people have a lucky scramble, whether it's easier for them than others. But
so are they randomly scrambled when you give them to them? Competitors?
They are, yeah. They're all randomly scrambled. So in the competition, we'll have a sheet of scrambles for each event. They might, for the 3x3 event, they'll get five solves to do, and we've got five corresponding scrambles. Mm-hmm. We follow in the notation to perform the scramble on a solved cube, so that out of the 42 competitors that are competing, they'll all have exactly the same scramble state. And none of them are allowed to look at the cube beforehand.
Right.
But to ensure that the scramble state is appropriate, we use a computer program that every other organizer would use at the competition.
Okay.
At other competitions, to ensure that it's all at a fair level. So that program, Cube Explorer, has been approved by the WCA, and they use that for generating the scrambles for 3x3.
Okay, I got you. Now, when that happens, though, does everybody line up? And, you know, you ring a bell or you fire a gun or you do whatever, you say ready, set, go, and everyone starts at the one time? Or do people do it individually? Is it done like that? How's it actually done?
Oh, they pretty much do it individually, but we'll have a stage with six timers set up, and they'll get to sit down at each of the timers with a judge standing next to them. And they'll be asked, are you ready? And then they say yes, then they get to pick up the cube and look at the cube for 15 seconds. And then they need to put the cube down and start the timer and commence their solve. And we just keep repeating that process for all the competitors. So the competitors will wait in a competitor area where they can't look at the other people solving. Oh, otherwise, okay. They might get an advantage.
Yes, they could, couldn't they? All right, it sounds very exciting. Is it a good spectator sport?
Yeah, it can be pretty interesting, especially with the blindfolded event and especially with the finals of the 3x3 and just seeing people going really, really fast.
Mm. And does the person who win or the people that win go on to the World Championships?
Not at this stage. There is going to be a championship next year, a World Championship. I think they're still determining where it's going to be held. We don't really have the funding at the moment because of just organising this competition with the help of the RMIT Rubik's Cube Club, which I founded.
Okay.
And we're looking for sponsorship for that. But currently, we don't have the sponsorship for sending someone overseas.
But, you know, you could host the World Championships here in Australia.
We could, but I'm not sure if the international community would be too keen on it.
Come on. They need to get around to all of the places in the world that cubing is a great sport. Is it a sport? Is it a pastime? What is it, Tim?
I'd like to regard it as a sport. It involves a lot of training and concentration and dexterity.
Okay. And how do you train for it? Go for a long run or just keep practicing with your cube? What happens?
You pretty much keep practicing and keep going through scrambles, and you need to practice regularly so that you don't become weak in your hands and you're concentrating properly. You have to be really focused.
Tim, the very best of luck. I hope it's great success for you and for the cubing fans.
Yep. Thanks a lot for having me.
It's our pleasure, Tim McMahon. And have a look more at speedcubing.com.au, speedcubing.com.au.